A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
Well, hello, I'm Tim Farron, and welcome to the show which delves into the mucky business of politics through the eyes of Christians. Now, you might think that politics is tainted by compromise and sin. And yes, well, of course, you would be right, but then again, so is everything else. And I think we should be praying in an informed way for our brothers and sisters who operate in the world of politics. Today, we're going to be joined by Louise Davis from the Christian charity CARE. We'll hear how she was called into politics and how 10 years on, she's now working on advocacy and policy, as well as helping the next generation of politicians. But before that, Brenfield was that rare thing in politics, an MP who was near enough universally respected around the House and beyond. And he died last week after some protracted and painful years living with cancer. You may not have heard of him, but if you have, then you almost definitely disagree with him on something. He took positions that were surprising given his place on the centre-left of the Labour Party. He was, however, universally considered to be the very model of a public servant. Frank Field was born to a family of working-class Conservatives. He went on to become a Labour MP for 40 years, until 2019, when he was deselected by his local party and lost his seat. His abiding conviction and motivation was to be an advocate for the poor. He did not budge on this for all the many years he spent in Parliament. He took many different roles in his time, but he excelled at none more than as a backbench MP. He campaigned on child poverty and low-paid work for many years long before the arrival of the minimum wage. He worked doggedly and practically against climate change, beginning his own charity Cool Earth to empower Indigenous communities to protect rainforests. He's often held views that didn't fit with expectations. He publicly supported national service and Brexit. He opposed the EU model of immigration and surprised many by nominating Jeremy Corbyn in his successful run for the Labour leadership. He was both opposed to increasing access to abortion and yet supported increasing access to assisted dying. As you can see, there was quite a lot on which I disagree with him, but you knew he would tell you the truth, whether you wanted to hear it or not. Rumour has it he told Mrs. Thatcher that her time was up and she really ought to resign on the week that she did so, out of exasperation that her own cabinet and her own party could not say so to her face. Needless to say, his blunt honesty got him in trouble with many Labour leaders too. So, deep-rooted convictions, deep-rooted community presence, unflinching honesty, an independent mind, endurance for the long haul, and the patience and humility to recognise you might not set the world on fire, but you could nevertheless do some good. These qualities make for a superb public servant, and it is what we should seek to learn from Frank Field's example. I'm drawn to this as we look ahead to the local elections this week. I did not know Frank all that well, but consistently he spoke of a Christian faith that undergirded all of his work. So what if every local council and Christians who serve with the kind of qualities Frank displayed? What if the decisions were made by people who unashamedly wept at stories of constituents skipping meals, who took no nonsense and didn't mind pointing it out, who held themselves with civility and professionalism, who largely avoided PR and spin and instead put in the hard yards of loving a constituency wholeheartedly? Frank was said to have only travelled Birkenhead by feet and by bus. That says an awful lot about the man. Let's pray for more Frank Fields at every level of our politics and for a few more to be elected on Thursday. Every level of government responsibility will feel limited by position, circumstance, ability and time. But what can we do with the little we're entrusted with? In Luke 16 verse 10, Jesus says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." Something we can say is that Frank Field was faithful with his little.
A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
Well, so to this week's guest, Louise Davis is the Director of Advocacy and Policy for Christian Action, Research, Education, or CARE, better known to many of us. Louise, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tim.
Well, it's a real blessing to have you with us, and it's been great to work with you in different roles over a number of years. But let's just start off with, I always think, the most important question. Tell us a little bit about your faith, how you came to become a Christian.
Okay, so brought up on a council estate, my dad a bin man, mum a school cleaner, and from our council estate, on a Sunday morning, you could hear the church bell. It wasn't like bells, it was dung, dung, dung. And I really thank God for that church warden, because whoever was ringing that bell, because it stirred something in my heart, and I decided to go to church as a community kid. I just rocked up with my younger sister Alison, and then later that year we were in the nativity play and my mum came to see us, and she'd been brought up in the Sunday school and something stirred within her, and so she gave her life to the Lord. But I guess the decider was when Billy Graham came to town. I actually live in Sheffield, so he came to Bramall Lane in 1985, and as a 12-year-old I left my seat in the stands and I went on to the football field and I gave my life to Jesus.
Amazing. What a fantastic story. Louise, there's so much more we could ask you about what happened between then and now, but let's fast forward a little bit. For quite some time, you found yourself in the leadership of a church in Sheffield. Tell us about how that came about and what that was like.
Yes. Really felt the call of God from an early age into ministry. I remember as a 14-year-old, my careers teacher asking me, what do you want to be? And I said, I want to be a vicar. And they said, we haven't got any information on how to be a vicar, but here's how to be a librarian. I put me off. I carried on. And in my early 20s, I found myself on the senior leadership team of my church in Sheffield. We're a Pentecostal church and we own a large 50,000 square feet facility. And for 15 years, I was on the senior leadership team and absolutely loved it. I was doing all the community work. And then one day I had a call where to take a food parcel to a young woman at the other side of Sheffield. And as I'm in her bedroom handing her over the food parcel, I noticed that out the corner of my eye there was something moving on the bed. And my first reaction was, oh my word, it's a rat. And when I took a second look, it was a baby. And God really broke my heart that day. And I remember going down all the flights of stairs and I'm stood on the pavement just sobbing. And I uttered the daftest of all daft prayers. And I said, God, I just feel as though I'm putting a plaster on a gaping wound here. If it's your will, I want to change this. I want to change the system. And I feel as though God went, yeah, okay. And so this really strange thing started to happen in the life of the church. We would have visiting guest speakers. They would stop mid-sermon. They would point to me in the congregation and they said, oh, do you know, God's got this unusual word for you. And the word was politics. And the first time it happened, Tim, it was like, what? The fifth time it happened, everyone's going, it's politics. And so 11 years ago, my senior minister got me into the office and he said, Lou, we're selling the church building, which I was in charge. And he said, you can either come on this journey with us, or I'm wondering if this is a time for you to step out into the political arena. And I just felt God say yes. So I left full-time ministry and I started rocking up to political meetings. And that was the start of my journey into politics.
And you also then ended up being, I'm not sure how quickly this happened, but you ended up being the caseworker for Paul Blomfield, MP for Sheffield Central. So was that a thing that happened soon after these experiences?
No, I did the thing that most people do when they feel called into politics. I actually stood in an election in 2015, stood in an election, lost an election, and then shortly after, because I had no job, because I gave up my job to campaign full time, then I became the caseworker for Paul, which I did for a couple of years, which was a great experience of learning how, politicians work, of the cases that come to MPs. And so it was just a great time of just making a real difference to people in Paul's constituency.
So you joined the Labour Party, you got involved
Yeah.
in Labour actions in within the city of Sheffield. You stood for election in 2015. Now, this is obviously very timely because in a few days we have the local elections, mayoral elections across the country. When we were chatting last night about all this, I reckon that probably three or four times as many people are standing for election than will actually get elected. So you're
Yeah.
looking at scores of people out there are either going to be, well, they're not going to win. And
They're not.
some of them, before we're speaking, believe that they very well might. And so,
It's really hard, Tim, because like I really felt as though I'd heard from God to stand in election. So when I lost, it was really crushing. I remember being at the election count and I'm just having a meltdown in the ladies' loos, tears, snot, mascara down to my toes. I'm going, God, what's going on here? And so, it was a really humbling experience. But, I feel as though God's really turned that into a platform. So if you lose an election, I am the person to go to, and I will talk to you and I'll pray with you.
Yeah, keep going. Absolutely. And so for those people this week, I guess we hold them in our prayers that it's a big thing, isn't it? You put yourself in front of your community. We often call it in the business a paper candidate, someone who's just, there to make up the numbers. You really tried to win, you were committed to your community, and you didn't. And so for people who put themselves in that position, you're kind of exposed, and you are vulnerable. And yes, we're politicians and we deserve all we get and all that kind of stuff, but it is a tough thing, isn't it?
It is. I think, you and I, we've done lots of campaigning over the years for other people, and that's quite a great experience. But it's a totally different ball game when your name and your face is on that leaflet, and you're putting your head above the parapet. You're opening up for abuse, and you just feel really vulnerable. And so, as Christians, we need to be championing these people. Whenever I'm an election count, I will go up to every person who has stood in my ward, and I will personally thank them for standing, because I appreciate how much that takes, and how much it's such a fragile thing. They've got their dreams, and if that dream doesn't come to pass, it's a hard thing to get over. So I'm already praying for candidates across all the parties who are standing in my local elections in Sheffield.
A Mucky Business with Tim Farron.
We're talking to Louise Davis, who is the Director of Advocacy and Policy for Christian Action, Research and Education, and has been involved in many other things beforehand. You went on to become the Director of Christians on the Left. It used to be called the Christian Socialist Movement. So the Labour Party's a Christian organisation, which is how I first came across you. And you were somebody very much involved in the life of Parliament. What's it like working in Parliament in that position?
Oh, it's such a privilege. It's such a privilege. And you get to see the inner workings of Parliament, but also what it is for an MP to be in that environment as well. And so I felt that when I was doing that role for 5 years, that all that pastoral gifting that I'd brought to the senior leadership team of my church, I was able to bring to Parliament as well. And so it was such a privilege to pray with politicians, to be at the end of the phone when things weren't going well, and just to really champion them. Because I think also working for Paul, I understood how busy they are, and the strains that it has on family life as well. And so it was such a unique time. But also God gave me great opportunities to speak into the life of politicians at all different levels, and it was an incredible time. I really felt as though I was truly being salt and light in that place, and it was such an honor. And even now, when I know I often go across to Parliament in this role, and it always takes my breath away, and it is always an honor and a privilege for God to have placed me there.
And let's think a little bit about what it was like. So if you're in Parliament, you're alongside people, many of whom obviously were Christians and had been drawn into politics for different reasons. What do you think draws Christians into politics in your experience? And what should draw them into politics? How should that come about?
Okay, I would hope that they've heard from God. It is a tough vocation. And so on your toughest day, you want to know that that God's actually placed you there. The vast majority of MPs that I have met truly have gone into politics because they want to make a difference. It might be something from their experience that, just like me, they want to change the system. But there is that genuine desire to give of their best for their constituents and to be a voice for them in Parliament. And sometimes I think that MPs get such a rough deal. We're easy to stereotype MPs. Oh, they're all the same and they're all in it for themselves. When in fact, the majority of them are there, and they're giving their very best. They're away from their families for 4 days a week. They're trying to, be on top of their inbox and all the different pressures that are coming to them. And I think that, for part of my role was to really champion them and to say, I really believe in you, and I believe what you're doing, and let me come alongside you, and let me pray for you, because I want to see you flourish in this role. Because if you're flourishing in this role, then that's going to have a knock-on effect for your constituents as well.
And when you come across Christians who try and keep politics at arm's length, we say they're put off it. They're talented people who could easily be great councillors, great MPs,
but they wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. What puts them off?
Well, I don't want to glamorize it. You know, I'm talking about honor and privilege and all this stuff. But it, you know, as the title of your podcast, it is a mucky business. It is a dark place. And I always remember a couple of years ago, a Christian friend of mine rang me up and he said, "Louise, please just get out of politics." He recognized that I was going through a tough time. He says, "Louise, please, please just get out." And I remember just being really blunt with him on the phone going, "Shut up. Shut up." I said, "It feels dark and it's icky at the moment, but you watch me. The darker it gets, the brighter I shine. You know, I'm called to be the light of the world here. I can't be the light in the light place." And so I think it does put Christians off. But, you know, Jesus has sent us out into all the world. And when he gave us that great commission, he didn't say, "Oh, go into all the world, but if you could avoid politics, that would be really handy." And, you know, whether it's politics or whether it's your school playground or your mum and toddler group or your luncheon club or wherever you go, that is our mission field. And so it isn't necessarily about what feels comfortable. I want to be obedient to what God has for me. And God has very clearly called me into the world of politics. So, you know, just with the parable of the talents, I'm going to endeavour to be faithful with what God's placed in my hand.
Amazing. Seriously inspiring stuff. Thanks, Louise. Let's think a bit about what you're doing now. So you've gone in the last couple of years to work for CARE, your Director of Advocacy and Policy. What does that mean?
Well, that means that my job and God has given me the supernatural gift of cheekiness and I can get through most closed doors is to go across the road into Westminster and see MPs and Lords and just tell them about God's better story for society. So when bills are coming through, you know, the House, you know, I'll be asking them to be laying down amendments, we'll be giving them briefings, we'll be asking them to make speeches and to be God's voice in that place. So my job is that. And then also we have offices in Scotland and Northern Ireland. So we're very much involved in the politics there. So yeah, that's what I do on a day-to-day basis.
The gifting of cheekiness. This is brilliant. I have it, but not to the same degree as you, it would appear. And that's interesting. So what giftings do you think people do need? If you're a Christian and you're thinking that politics might be for you, what does character look like? What does gifting look like for you to enter this mucky business?
Yeah, I think there's gifting. And then I think, you know, because obviously over the years, I've mentored quite a lot of people going through politics. And, the first question I always ask is, has God called you to this? Because if he hasn't, then go and do something else brilliant, but don't do it here. And the second thing I always ask them is, have you got your foundations right? You know, are you going to church? Are you in a home group? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Because there will be times when you are shaken. And we've got to make sure that your foundation is firm, that you are not going to have a major wobble, but you can stand against any trial or temptation that's going to come your way. And so for Christians, it's got to be that you're in it for the long haul, that you are tenacious, that you refuse to give up. You are the widow at the judge's door. You keep knocking and knocking and knocking until your knuckles are bloody and you are waiting for justice. You're a person of integrity. You know, what you say is you're going to make it happen. You're going to be a person who can speak with truth and grace. There's got to be that almost like this religious anger within you as well. You want to make effective change and you have to be willing. You have to be willing to turn up the dimmer light and shine brightly, because there's going to be days when your faith is going to clash with the politics and it's going to, which one is going to weigh out. And hopefully it's going to be that we're going to shine and we're going to stand for truth and we're going to be gracious with it as well. So those are the people that I want to see in Parliament. And, you know, a bit of cheekiness would be good as well, Tim.
Fantastic. I'm absolutely certain that listeners are going to think the same as me as we come to the end of our time together. That is properly moving, inspiring, motivating. It's just what I needed to hear on this lovely cold day in what is supposed to be spring. But I'm really grateful to you, Louise, for everything that you've done, for sharing what you have. and for giving us a really great, you know, thumbnail sermon about what it is to be involved in politics. Let's be those who knock until our knuckles bleed. Let's be those people who are in it for the long haul. Let's be those who indeed acquire the gift of cheekiness to do God's work in the place that he's put us. Louise, what a blessing. Have a great day. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Tim.
Well, each week we give you the opportunity for you to ask any question you'd like about this mucky business of politics. That might be how an aspect of this world impacts us Christians who work within it, or maybe there's a particular issue that you're struggling to make sense of. Well, I'd absolutely love to hear from you and attempt an answer, so please drop me an email to farron@premier.org.uk. This week, Kim in Felixstowe has been in touch and says this: a group of older Christian men from churches across the town gather every other Saturday morning for breakfast fellowship. Together we listen to an episode of your podcast and discuss for 20 minutes. We would welcome your thoughts on the following. Several of our churches don't have or soon won't have an ordained leader. There seems to be a lack of people willing to take leadership positions. As a leader in politics, what advice would you give us in regards to encouraging the next generation? First of all, I'm really grateful that you listen to the podcast every Saturday and consider it. So may I encourage many other people to do exactly the same thing? It's a great question. I wonder whether, as we're listening to this podcast, there are people in active, vibrant churches where you might be a younger person who recognises that you have some gifting in leadership, in sharing the gospel, in pastoring. Ask yourself whether maybe you could be called out of your busy, dare I say it, successful church into one that isn't, into one that maybe have a smallish and faithful group of believers, but which does not have a full-time leader. Think about whether that might be something that you would wish to pursue. Is that God's will for your life? In listening to Louise's superb advice to us earlier on, what do we think about the calling into politics, recognizing your gifts, and thinking that there's nothing, shall we say, pushy or proud about listening to what God calls you to do, and about being humble enough to recognise the gifts he's given you, you should jolly well use. Now, from the other side, how do we, as older people, encourage young people? I think it's to talk about ambition wisely. There's nothing wrong with wanting to achieve and to succeed, so long as we do it with humility and with obedience to the Lord. And do we want to encourage? Yes, I'm sure we do. A generation of young people who recognise their gifts and get out there and want to apply them, not for their own glory, but for God's. So it's about encouraging younger people from those of us who are not so young, and younger people recognising their gifts have been given them for a reason, and be prepared to be called into places that might be a little bit more awkward and less comfortable than the place that you're currently sat.
If you have a question for Tim, email farron@premier.org.uk.
Well, let's close together in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we bring to you the nation of Scotland, their government in turmoil at the moment. So we lift up to you, leaders of all the parties in Scotland, all the MSPs, all those senior players in Scottish politics, and we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you bless them with integrity. We pray that you'd bring reconciliation and a resolution to the current crisis and the lack of unity that there is, the division that there is within that parliament and within Scotland. I pray that you would bless the people of Scotland with good leaders and with people of integrity in both government and in opposition. And Lord, we pray for those around the country standing for election, various local elections and mayoral elections and police and crime commissioner elections in the coming days. We pray that you would see elected many Christians, many people who will be a shining light for you in the places in which you have put them. We pray for all those elected, though, that they would act with integrity and with competence, and you'd bless their work. And we pray especially, though, for those who will lose. And there are hundreds and hundreds of people putting themselves up for election who will not be successful in the election. And some of them will be people who have been councillors and mayors who will then lose their positions. And that will be devastating, we suspect, for many of them. We thank you for those who are brave enough to put themselves in harm's way, so to speak, to be exposed, to be open to rejection and ridicule and examination by their communities. We pray you'd sustain them in defeat and encourage them. We pray that you would lead those who do not yet know you to put their trust in you, maybe as a response to that devastation of defeat. And we pray indeed all of these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this week's show. Don't forget, you can catch up on past episodes, which feature interviews with party leaders, former government ministers, and MPs from all the major parties. Just search for A Mucky Business on your chosen podcast provider, or head to premier.plus/A Mucky Business.